You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
I promise you, vow, Girl Scouts honor, swear to freaking God, you're going to walk away from this episode with a little more knowledge than when you started, and you might, just might, put it down a little bit better, just from one episode. I think I can pack a punch that hard. If you're new here, hi, I'm Jordan, host of The Horny Housewife, co-ed locker room talk vibes, shooting the shit, talking about your sex life, making fun of your, all of our sex life, collectively talking shit and collectively getting solution oriented so we can be better at this, so we can have more orgasms, so we can be a better lover, so we can have that big sister, me be the big sister, say, hey, this doesn't work for you. You suck at this. You need to do this. You're missing out. You're fucking up. You need that person in your life. That's me. And today we're going to do lots of listener questions because last week I only did two because if you know, you know, I had a guest, Dr. Tara, on. Wonderful. The feedback I got from y'all, you really loved that episode. So if you haven't heard it, you're going to want to hear it. Guests are rare around here. And when they come around, they've got something to give the freaky fam. So today we're catching up, me, you, some giggles, some weed, some wine, whatever you want. A lot of y'all say y'all listen to me on the way to work. So in that case, 10 and 2, my friend, and eyes on the road and soak it all in. Today's topic of the hour is kissing. What? If you're new here, I thought you went harder than that. Have fun. The archive is plenty and full. We're taking it back to the basics. I'm going to blow your mind. Kissing is so underrated, so getting the short stick. And let's talk about what really happens in marriage and the lack of kissing, or just how you've got to be so much more intentional about that shit. That maybe just that one half a sentence, you're like, when is the last time I like made out? Or it wasn't just during sex. Or shit, we don't even kiss that much during sex. And whatever the situation is, you are going to walk away with some more knowledge about the psychology behind kissing and maybe how you could get a little more creative, be inspired to take the information that I give you home and start fucking licking each other inside each other's mouth, swapping spit, animalistic shit, whatever. Maybe some sweet romantic shit too. However you like to kiss, we can level it up. We can evolve it. You can be like, you know what? Maybe my kissing skills have gotten a little rusty. I need to get back in there in the action. If you don't use it, you lose it. God forbid we lose the lip action, okay? You might not even know what you're missing, and I'm just gonna wake this shit up. So buckle up before I just word vomit and we just go into this topic. We can't, we gotta go in order. There's a way we do things around here, surprisingly enough. And first, I'm gonna bitch, and then we're gonna do listener questions, and then we're gonna do our topic. That is the format of the gosh darn show. And if you're new here, we don't always bitch in the intro. Sometimes we giggle. Sometimes we reflect. Sometimes we bring up a new little seedling that has sprouted in our community and we're highlighting it. And I take pride in the fact that I really try to put myself in both the husband's and the wife's like perspectives, shoes, if you will. And maybe some guys could hate and be like, well, you're not a man. And so shut the fuck up. You don't know how I feel. But I think the OG listeners, I think the people that have listened for a while could be like, you know what? She does try. And she might have been a male in her past life. According to my medium, I was. And that doesn't surprise me because sometimes you know, we all have our feminine and our masculine side. And I'm not saying like she's roaring in her masculine because, ew, I don't want to be. So I don't think it's that kind of thing. I think it's an empathy kind of thing and experience kind of thing and how your brain's wired kind of thing. But big buts, as a woman, you know, I'm a woman. So occasionally us ladies have to band together and stand for one another. And we just know, we just, especially the girls that listen to this podcast, we get each other. We see each other. We're like, I see you, bitch. And really words can't articulate it, as you see, I'm struggling to do so. But with the ladies, this intro, this episode, I have to say something for all of us. And I feel like I can speak for every woman when I say, why? It's a question, it's a statement, it's so many things. Men, feel free. Feel free to answer me. No, don't, because I'm not going to like your answer. Usually I'll ask questions that I want the answer to. I want your insight. I want your POV. I want your knowledge, your expertise. This one I don't, okay? Why, when you get an injury, air quotes injury, why are y'all such vaginas about pain sometimes? Do y'all notice that, or is it just us? Am I losing all my male audience? I can make fun of us next. I can make fun of something we do that's just perplexing, or that's just like, there's a million dorky or ick or what WTF things that us females do that just merit a head shake. And for us, since I have a pussy in between my legs, I'm just going to go ahead and say, I don't get how when y'all are sick, it's 50 times worse than when we're sick. I understand why we push babies out of our vagina hole, because y'all would all fucking die if y'all did, and y'all would bitch the entire time. Maybe this is not the case globally, but I feel like for some reason that a lot of married women might be like, I know what you're talking about. So I couldn't help myself with this little story that I've got here. And yes, my husband knows I'm going to tell it. I said, Derek, do you mind if I tell everyone about your finger? He's like, sure, yeah. I'm like, I'm going to talk shit about it, okay? And I know this is hypocritical. As they say, don't talk shit about your spouse. It's not nice. It's beyond not nice. It like breeds this internal dialogue in your head, and then you start looking at your spouse as all those negative things that you're constantly saying to Susie and Bobby and Tina and all your little friends, and then you just don't want to be that wife and you don't want to be that husband. Not good for your marriage, not good to do to one another and to your mindset, KK. But also, this is co-ed locker room talk, and in the locker room, you talk a little shit. So, you know, yin and yang, a little balance, all in good humor, all in good humor. Okay, you know a vegetable peeler, like a potato, you're peeling the potato skins, carrots, zucchini, whatever. He washed the peeler in the sink and, you know, nicked his pointer finger. And, you know, I'm the cook of the family, okay? So this bitch has been burnt. This bitch has been boiled. I've been sliced. I've been diced. I've been seated, okay? I have fallen over in the kitchen. I've cried alone, home alone, wept from an injury. And then I wipe my own tears. I do whimper for a little bit and feel bad for myself for a little small bit and send my husband a picture of it and go, look, I fucking hurt myself. And then that's pretty much the end of it, you know, and then it heals. Like, obviously, if something needed stitches or something, then I could see a room for pouting, okay, or a room for like, wow, I almost lost a finger. Some people have cut their fucking fingers off. There's this little hairline cut on my husband's finger. He's mentioned it 72 times. He's replaced it with 6 different Band-Aids now, and it has been classified as a deep cut. And there's no... I'm going to put a poll on my Instagram. I thought about it, but I was like, is that emasculating? So maybe I shouldn't. But I do not accept if I have to see him lift his Band-Aid off to put his finger to like get into his computer to unlock the screen one more time, I am going to throw up on myself. This is a completely irrational ick. But the other women are like, you know what? They see me. And for that, I feel loved. I wouldn't even be surprised if I receive an influx of DMs and emails telling me how painful that type of cut is. And I'm going to let you know right now, I don't give a fuck. Not any. I go, Derek, can you please pretend you're a warrior and that you didn't even know that happened to you? I want you to pretend like it didn't happen. I think that could be fucked up of me. I feel like that just, I just turned into an abusive like father who's like, don't cry. I don't know. That is something I think I would thoroughly enjoy hearing from y'all is just icks, your spouse's icks. Don't talk shit about your spouse. No, please submit me all of the things that you hate about your spouse. Thank you. Y'all always get me real good with the feedback. Speaking of feedback, last week I asked the men about testosterone. I asked y'all, hey, if you're on it, if you want to hear an episode where maybe Derek and I did an episode together. We did that one time a long, long time ago in the very beginning. So do I never, ever do it again. But if we talked about this, I feel like it would be appropriate to have a man who is experiencing that and sharing his POV, his insight. But he's new, so this would be like down the road. So I asked y'all, y'all provided, and I will say this to any men who are on the fence, who have been maybe curious about getting on TRT or something, supplementing, like aiding in your body's production of testosterone, the guys all said, yes, best decision I ever made. That was the overall general and kind of like managing expectations that it's not like a wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. You've got to, I guess, go on the journey. A lot of people mentioned it's not covered by insurance. It's expensive. They had tried this. They tried that. I did hear people talk shit about the pellets. I'm not a doctor. I don't even know what that really means, but I did it. Whatever those are, people weren't saying the most positive things about them. And a lot of people also mentioned hormone replacement therapy and that women were like, dude, I know the guys need to get their hormones in check. Boy, oh boy, do the females need to have their hormones in check. I think we write off like, oh, kids, stress, marriage, routine has just chipped away at your sex drive. That's what women will blame it on and say they're tired, they're this, they're that, and think that it's just what it is. When really they go to the doctor, they get on the right little cocktail of hormones, and she's like, hear me roar, I am woman. And every woman deserves to feel like that. So if you're like, oh, maybe that's me, totally worth getting checked out. It's your favorite time. It's listener question time. Question number one. Hi, 30-year-old female here. I love the podcast and I would like your opinion. When I was younger, I got into some pretty intense BDSM porn. I realized a couple of years ago how messed up and intense some of it was, and I'm worried I messed up my sexual preferences and my ability to get off during sex by watching it so young. I tried to cut it out once I realized how effed up some of it was, not trying to yuck anyone's yum, but some of it was clearly dangerous to the health and safety of the women in it. Oh my God. While masturbating, I've tried to switch to more gentle porn, but I find myself still drawn to the more intense things out there to get off. I am in a great relationship now, together for 1 year, and I love our sex. I would say we're fairly adventurous, trying things like light spanking, dirty talk, calling him daddy and such. But even though I love him and really enjoy it, I find myself needing to think about some of the super intense porn that I've seen in the past to get over the edge and orgasm. I have always had difficulty orgasming, and it takes a while to get there for me, even something when we are using an intense vibrator. So thinking about that, I have found, gets me over the edge. But I don't want to be thinking about some random porn I have watched. I want to be present and experiencing the sex with my partner. What do you think? Is it wrong to be thinking about that during sex? Did I mess myself up watching that all so young? Is there a way to change? Thanks for your help. Okay, I have lots of thoughts. And obviously, I know you're asking me, and I just feel the urge to be like, I am not a doctor, I'm not a porn expert, I'm not a psychologist, but from all of the things I know, have gathered, have read, learned, come to understand, that porn desensitizes you, like rewires your brain in a way, if you will. I know there was one episode, I don't know which one it was, when I was telling men how they needed to stop simulating sex by, like, okay, they're jerking off to last longer. There we go. That if they're sitting with their headphones on, with their lube, watching the computer, jacking off, then, you know, they're just, you're kind of like cleaning the pipes. You're getting the job done. I mean, like, even if they're, say they're edging and they're, which is great practice, wonderful, hallelujah. But say they're trying to prolong it to enjoy the porn or whatever, they're still like, if they're watching gangbangs every time, they're teaching their brain, like, this is what I like, this is what's arousing to me. They're like doing it over and over and over frequently. If someone's abusing it, doing it every single day, this, like, no bueno. I feel like even a couple times a week doing that could be so harmful and really take away from your sex life at home, for sure-sies, for sure-sies. And then that's not what sex is really like. You're in a bed. You're not sitting upright on a computer screen. So then you go get yourself in the real life situation. And some people, when it just lasts you longer, they just bust a nut because it's the real thing. And then some people struggle with ED or having to think about porn during sex, or it's just, it's a lot harder for them. And they go to the porn in their head. So I can see how that would go for a woman or a man. If you're constantly fucking with the pleasure centers, your reward system in your brain, and that's your dopamine hit over and over, how that could intermingle with your at-home lover. Kind of like a vibrator on your pussy. If you're always using the vibrator and you're dependent on the something a dick doesn't do to get off, then it's kind of just making the dick's chances lower and lower each time. So I feel like, you know, give it a rest. One thing I noticed in your synopsis, no, your question was that you say you go to that place in your head and that you find yourself like wanting that intense thing. And you say you try to be present. And I would think, like, I get what you're saying. I'm not trying to discredit that it's a struggle or that your sex isn't good, but I bet there is room for maybe y'all to evolve in a way where you're getting a little more of that intense and that rush and that passion or the high intensity situation you're looking for. If it's communicated and consensual and they're curious and you're open and vulnerable and honest. Now, maybe that doesn't mean you want to go show them what you watch where you're like, it's a little horrifying, it's a little fucked up. Maybe that's not a great way to intro to the person what really arouses you. Maybe it's taking a course together. It's doing a Google deep dive. It's having a conversation. It's watching other porn. That's maybe a little, like, a little light dose of what you're talking about. Shop around for a second. Don't get lost. Focus, focus. I wonder if that was terrible advice. I don't know. But I would want to express to my significant other that, like, I found this really hot and heavy, and then see where that goes. Also, getting really present. If something is feeling really fucking awesome, you know, it's easier to be present, and then to watch what your partner's doing and how they're doing it can be really a part of that erotic, arousing experience. So yeah, that's a way I think you could maybe see about getting on a similar page or just opening their eyes, opening their mind, opening the conversation. But to answer your other questions specifically, I don't think it's wrong that you're thinking about that. I mean, there are people that think about fucking another person. There are people talking dirty and saying shit that they don't ever plan on doing in real life, or at least not now. It's totally, there's no such thing as normal. And it's only wrong if you feel like it's wrong. Do you feel like you're betraying that person? Maybe you're taking away from being present and being in the moment. And I would hate for every time you're fucking to have to go somewhere mentally, but I would guarantee that so many people and so many married people, whether we like this answer or not, would say, yeah, I think about something that, you know, it just gets me there a little quicker. It really sends me over the edge. Totally, whatever the word normal means, normal. Totally normal. And the question, did I mess myself up watching all of that so young? What can you do now? What can you do about it now? I mean, have you been to therapy? Try therapy. I think it's worth talking about some of that shit. Maybe peeling back. Why do I like certain situations? I do. Me, Jordy's opinion, think that our kinks can be eye-opening and telling. And some of them are some people share kinks and I will ask questions and be nosy. I'm like, if they told me this, I'm sure I could ask if they've had any trauma. And 9 or maybe 10 times out of 10, there was always some correlation of some traumatizing incident that was the root or the seed of this situation. So no worries, no yucking your yum, like what you fucking like. But the more you know about yourself, right? I mean, it doesn't hurt to know where it comes from. And then whatevs, okay? Deeper understanding, maybe that'll change it a little bit. And then it can be something shame-free. Like the sounds of that. Moving on to question numero dos, number 2. From a male listener, what is the secret to staying excited about having sex with the same person? While it's true that two people knowing each other's body can be great, for me, before being married, the excitement came from not knowing. It was exciting seeing a new naked body for the first time. I've been married for 20 years and I'm really struggling. Do you have any advice? What a hard question, right? What truth hurts. And, you know, I could just see the validity in the question, right? Like, we're human beings. Things can get boring, routine. And especially, I think men by nature are visual creatures. And I still don't want to get the boos from the women. Like, don't give them an out. Don't give them an out. I mean, women get bored too all the fucking time. I don't think the cheating statistic is like what they used to say it was. Who's they? I don't fucking know. But I know that the guys, like, sometimes I am cynical. I'm like, they're just dogs. A lot of them are just dogs. Woof, 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 woof. But I mean, dude, there are scandalous, scandalous women. And there are a lot of people that are married that are like, don't ask, don't tell, look the other way. Both just kind of living a lie, and maybe they have an understanding. It's sad. I mean, to me, that's sad because I can't imagine that feeling. Maybe I could, I take that back. I could see how you could get to a point and then you felt so hopeless that was the only way for it to coexist. But I just feel like everyone deserves to authentically love who they want to love and be who they are. And wouldn't it be so much cooler or more fun or more free if you and your partner were on the same page and you supported one another? I'm sure there are people who they have their type of way that they're going to live and that works for them, and they honor and respect each other instead of it being lies and deceptiveness. Is deceptiveness the word? Deceit. That's the word, deceit. And I'm really getting off track from the question, but monogamy. I'm in a monogamous relationship. Dude, monogamy sounds really fucking hard. And I haven't been married 20 years, so I guess I can't fully even answer, but I wanted to answer still because here's just my thoughts. We make choices, and so you chose to be with this person, and you took vows, you made a commitment. It doesn't sound like you're miserable or you hate your marriage. I don't know. I only got this tiny little blip. So if you like hate this person, if this person is not willing, if you don't feel like you can do life together, your friends, there could be so many reasons why you should just move on. That sounds terrible, but I guess it's true. But if it's just like this is all it is, where you feel like, oh, you're missing out, like some FOMO, I think that's where, that's like why this podcast exists. To be intentional about how you can bring excitement back. And I think that starts with just talking about it. And you may be like, wait, talking about it doesn't sprout a new pair of tits on her. But I think the conversation could be eye-opening because who's to say she's not bored and wants a new experience in bed? 20 years is a long time to be married. And maybe you're like, no, she doesn't. But hey, maybe lingerie and a little porn could be really exciting as you're visually getting stimulated and then you're getting to ravish your wife. Maybe you're the kind of couple who maybe would love to incorporate going to a strip club one night because visually stimulating for you both. I don't know anything about your wife, so I feel like there's so many questions that have to be answered to see where this could go for solutions. And that's what you need to like hold on to, is that there are so many options for you, so many ways to get out of this like feeling of the funk or the missing out. Obviously, I don't know you. Maybe you are an insatiable fuck and you just gave me like the tip of the iceberg and it's never going to be enough for you. I can't help you then. But if you're like, meh, you know, I feel like we're here and I'm like, I wish I could see a new body and it's just not as exciting anymore. That's totally normal, totally relatable. I think all the homies are shaking their head like, hey, I know. But I also think that if you're there, that maybe you're missing out in connecting, in connection, in some real intimacy that envelops, develops, I don't even know what words I'm saying, your love in a more meaningful way. And then it makes sex more than just like this body fucking you, a whole, a body, an object. It's making love. And you can fuck and make love. And you can do both at the same time. And you can not do them at the same time. You mentioned knowing someone's body and them knowing yours. Great. But knowing and then continual learning, exploration, conversating, because people change. Like some people's kinks totally change, or they find out things about themselves and what arouses them and maybe what they are into that they didn't think they would ever be into. And how the hell are you going to be in the know if you're not in the know? Maybe she's not the type to walk around and advertise those thoughts. Doesn't mean she doesn't have them. She's only human, just like you are. I bet so many men would be just floored at the dirty, dirty thoughts that cross their wives' minds. And maybe some of them aren't about you. So, sweet listener that asked this, I do not shame you. I do not have answers for you as I have not lived your experience, but I believe that solutions are aplenty for you. If you both turn inward, and maybe, just maybe, you'll be pleasantly surprised with some of her desires. And who knows, this could be the beginning of a whole new chapter for you. Moving on, where we got two more. We got two more questionies. If you're out there listening going, I want to ask a question. I want to overshare. I want to give the scoop. And I want to do so anonymously because that just can feel better sometimes. Go to my website, www.thehornyhousewifepodcast.com, and there is a submission form. Ask anonymously, or shit, go to my Instagram at _thehornyhousewifepodcast. Slide on in the DMs. I won't tell who you are. Promise, cross my heart. No one cares. Also, and I can get context, and then I can know, you know, follow up questions. Really get a good picture. Paint a picture for me. Okay, let's get back to it. Question number three. Why does my husband seem to think that day one of my period means blowjob? I don't mind giving them. I never deny him sex, and I'm totally down for period sex and oral. However, the first fucking day of my period, I feel gross and shitty. How about giving me a back rub, Todd? Question mark. This, I'm reading this verbatim, so this is my type of bitch, by the way. Get me some chocolate, exclamation mark. You do bath time with the kids so I can sit with a heating pad and watch Netflix. Do something for me today, and then we'll talk in a day or two. Like her. I like her. I liked her use of all caps for certain words. Love the Todd usage. If you know, you know. And I felt her. Even though I have an IUD, I've told you before, I do consider this a flex. I am flexing by sharing that I have an IUD and don't have my period. And I know there's a whole group of girlies who are like anti-birth control. And as much as of a holistic girly I like to say I am because I love smoking weed, I'm going to keep my IUD in, okay? I don't bleed and I'm down for it. Had a period for a gazillion years, and for the last 5 I've had an IUD, and it's been beautiful, okay? Beautiful. And no regrets. So if you notice, this wasn't even a question, but why was it red? It was red because she deserved for it to be red. And B, I wanted to bring up period sex as well as give a little hint skis to the men. You want an enthusiastic, sloppy, slushy, spitty, gaggy, teary-eyed BJ? Yes, you do. You do. And so that day one of period should be love and nurturing, something that might not come natural to you, but you are going to be incentive driven, sir. And you're going to get the chocolate. You're going to speak her love language. Find out what it is and speak it. And heck, who knows? Maybe that will be so appreciated, so well received. And she knows you're a monster. Just kidding. She knows you need to come. She knows you need to get off. She knows that you need to drain the main vein. And so if you're showing love, you know, you scratch her back, she'll scratch her back. That could just woo her. She's emotional. Her hormones are doing round off backhand springs, and they're not landing them all. So you just need to ride this train, accept what you married or chose to be with, whatever. Y'all, every day is a different day for y'all. We don't know. Usually it's consistent, but every 24 hours you get a fresh start. We're doing weird shit for 28 days. Okay, so it's just a different species, literally. Some women become horn crazed on their period. I used to be extra horny on my period, and I felt like it was a curse. Like, ugh, because it's just gross. Even I'm married to a man who's so down, so down. He hasn't experienced me with a period in forever, but I bled like the Nile River, like a very high-pressured dam that had been set free. It was bad. For 6 weeks. And I say that, I'm like, I bled for 6 weeks. Remember that? He's like, it wasn't 6 weeks. I'm like, I have a journal, asshole. What? It was not six. You're gaslighting me. Stop gaslighting. He's like, no, that's not gaslight. Yes, get addiction. That's gaslighting. Do not make me question my reality of the amount of days I bled from my vagina, because each one was like a day that I was stranded on a deserted island. I knew each and every day that I wore a fucking diaper, was craving dick and being like hot dog down a hallway at this point. It was so bloody. This is getting graphic, that it was just, there was nothing going to happen. Don't have a child. Anyways, gaggy. I'm flushed. I'm nauseous. I'm talking about myself. I can't imagine what the listeners are feeling. What was the question? Oh yeah, wasn't a question. Maybe she's a horny bitch on her period. Maybe she's not. It's not the rest of your life. Don't be an asshole. And I promise you that it would be in your best interest to be courteous and compassionate and a gentleman at this time, because if you bled from your penis once a month, God help us fucking all. This is really tying in with my intro story now, isn't it? Just boom, full circle, baby. No, it was not meant to be that way. You want a little hack, men? You want a hack? Put on fucking Yellowstone, if she's a Beth Dutton lover. Put on whatever her show is. What show kind of gets her riled up, okay? Put that on with a heating pad. Give him a massage. Don't say, like, you want to use your mouth. Don't be a fucking douchebag, okay? Be sweet, sincere, kissy-wissy, but get her a show that's going, and I bet you it'll end in you ejaculating. Eh? Maybe I'm wrong, but you never know. It's worth trying. It's always worth trying. I'm sure you could use the husband points. Okay, moving on. Last but not least, from a husband. You know, we keep it balance. Two wifeys, two hubbies. My wife never talks about sex, dot, dot, dot. How can I get her to share her fantasies with me? Well, 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 another question with a how can I get her to blank? How can I get him to blank? Those never work. They never work. How can I get my wife to want to have a threesome? How can I get my wife to be into this certain fantasy? You can't get any person into something that they are not into. And when you approach it that angle, you're just setting yourself up for a lot more hurdles, in my opinion, a lot more disappointment, coming at it with the wrong vibe, and it won't go over well. It's going to be uglier. It's going to be messier. More feelings are going to get hurt. More people are going to get irritated, awkward, uncomfortable. And awkward and uncomfortable and hurt feelings can also be a part of some real ass truth that you gotta sit with for a second. But when you're coming at it tit for tat or forceful, entitled, you know, you gotta check yourself. And I think that's my first advice. Kind of look inward and see what you're wanting out of knowing this, and you're like, Jordan, my intentions are pure. I want to know what she's into because that's arousing. That's my wife. I love her. Like, duh, why wouldn't you want to be? So I think maybe wording it like that when you have a conversation with her, timing and delivery is everything. Listen to all the episodes, catch up, make sure you're in the know of how to start a convo with the wifey at the ideal time. Put yourself in her shoes, or when would you want her to come at you with something that she wanted to see some evolution and some improvement in, what you might feel like is nagging, for instance. You don't want her to do that at a time where you feel stressed or pressured, or you're like, bad timing, babe. So think about her lifestyle, what goes on in her day to day, and maybe when this could be as stress-free as possible, where you'll have a chance to connect, conversate, process what you talked about, and be able to unwind or walk away from each other and unwind, whatever it may be. Connect again in the morning. Sometimes you need to sleep on it. Fuck that statement that's like, don't ever go to bed mad. Sometimes you need to go to bed. Sometimes you need the clarity of a good night's sleep. Sometimes your day was filled with many things that don't even have anything to do with your relationship. And you need to un-fucking-wind. Your body, your mind needs the rest. That's okay. That is okay. So fuck those stupid little cliche rules. If I were you, during an evening, maybe a dinner, an outing, after you've connected, after you've had some laughs, maybe it's been just a pleasant, enjoyable evening, even if it didn't consist of hot and heavy sexual tension or flirting, which can be harder to obtain. And if you're feeling super disconnected, like she's just nothing, maybe these situations I'm talking about don't seem familiar to you. Find your time, whatever it may be, and share that as her husband, at you as her partner, want to know more. You want to learn her more. You want to experience her more. You want to give her pleasure. You want to be a part of that. That sex is so much more than just you getting off and climaxing and masturbating on one another. You want to have this intimacy and know what drives her as a sexual being. And like, say worst case, she's like, I don't even feel like a sexual being. Like, I feel like that would be worst case. She's just like, that's just not even in me. There is nothing. That right there, that conversation, I wouldn't just accept that answer. If that's her answer, I would keep talking and saying, doesn't that feel shitty? Like, and maybe she doesn't know what she's missing. And then say that too, remind her. Like, if she doesn't feel any type of way, be like, well, I listened to this sick ass podcast. Just kidding. But hormones, like her hormones could be thrown off. There could be so many things. And if she tries to turn it at you, like you just want to get off and you're just thinking about sex and you only care about yourself and wanting to get your dick wet, be like, no, I care about my marriage. And I think that that's an important part of it. And as a man, this is a way I feel close to my wife. This is a way I feel like I'm giving love and getting love. And I know maybe this is like sounding vulnerable or emotional, or I'm saying it like a woman, but I promise you, oh my gosh, this, she could not rebuttal what I'm, these statements that I'm making, as long as they're true and they apply. Like if you say what I'm telling you to say to her, and then she shares, well, this need isn't being met. This is how I feel. I don't feel seen. I don't feel validated. I'm missing this. I want this, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Then, okay, now you're finding out some shit. And now y'all need to like, okay, let's have a game plan here. Let's see how we're going to make sure we're meeting one another's needs. But you'll never know until you have this conversation. And the point of all of this, because I could go on and on and on, is that you're not going to find out your wife's fantasies until you find out what drives her in general. If you're not feeling connected whatsoever, why the hell is she going to reveal this part of her? And if it is the worst case where she doesn't know, then let's get on the path of her finding that. That's going to be for her. She's going to have to look inward and make a choice and pick the trajectory of her life and marriage going forward, because it really will come down to that. Are you going to choose this? Because that's going to lead to this or this or this, or you can pick this and then this, this, and this might happen. But it's all choices, little choices and big choices. But those little daily choices really add up and really make big shifts. And so that should make everyone feel hopeful and not hopeless. You may think you're so far away from having the type of sex or relationship you want, but really, if you get intentional and you're both looking towards that goal, walking that way, you can get there. You can get there. And lastly, if she does know what her fantasies are, if she is withholding, then again, that's just, there's a reason why that wall's up and why it hasn't gone down for you. I'm sure there's her own reasons. Maybe she's not shared them with anyone, but you won't get there without some real meaningful intimacy. You're only in control of you, so you can express your feelings, your thoughts, your desires, your intentions, and then it's up to you on how you're going to go from there, and then she has her own choices. So, Godspeed. That is all for listener questions, and again, feel free to ask me whatever, mommies and daddies. And if you're enjoying the show, make sure you're subscribed. Leave 5 stars on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Someone's like, how do I review on Spotify? You can't write a review, I believe, but you can leave a rating within your app. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, you can leave stars and write a review, and that helps me so, so much. I appreciate it. There's a lot of listeners who I can see that how many listeners are listening that are following and that are not. a great deal. Half of the listeners are not subscribed listeners. Make sure you're fucking subscribed. Some people don't even realize that they're not. So go check. Go find out. I can't be your favorite podcaster or someone you listen to every week and you're not even subscribed. Do what you gotta do and tell a friend. Last thing before we talk about kissing, the Patreon. If you like sexy, slut-tastic stories, if erotica is your jam and you're like, hey, I would like to hear you, Jordy Cakes, read a slutty, dirty, naughty story, all the genres, all the kinks, all the yums, all the yucks. Some of them are not for me, but I think of everyone, okay? She's trying to be V-inclusive. Every week, two stories. The details will be in the episode notes. I think the Patreon personally is great foreplay for some couples. It's nice to listen together, a little story time before bed. You can rate the story and be like, Either way, someone's getting fucked, sucked, licked in the story. Yeah, it's a good time. K-I-S-S-I-N motherfucking G. Kissing. I'm excited to talk about this today because I feel like it is so underrated, like underrated, sexy, cutesy, hot move, kissing. Like every woman, I bet if you were asked, I would be down for some more kissing in my relationship, they would raise their hand because is there too much? Is there too much? I think we associate kissing as something like, in the beginning, when you see a couple and they're just all over each other and kissing all the time and making out, you're like, they're new. They just fell in love. They're in the honeymoon stage. Maybe you're married and you're like, you know what? I would say we have a pretty great sex life. It's really hot when we fuck. And you have super hot, passionate makeout sessions during your sex. And then what are your kisses outside of sex life? Like how often are you really enjoying kissing your partner, period? And if it's always during sex, y'all are having some great kissing action going on, then like bravo, because there are couples who don't even kiss while they fuck. Unfortunately, sadly, I think we've all heard of these couples. I don't mean to sound ageist, but it's always like, so-and-so's parents haven't kissed on the lips in 4 years. I don't know why those are all my stories. Or like, I've just heard older women be like, I had to tell my husband, like, you haven't kissed me in so long. You never kiss me anymore during sex. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. Like, that would offend me. I would be so offended, but we're going to talk so much more about what I just think about kissing. I want to talk about really the psychology behind it, what it does to the brain, what it does to relationships, what's going on in regards to kissing in marriages, like statistically, what's going on, and the benefits, little techniquey-eeky. I want you to walk away being like, okay, I fucking learn something, or maybe I need to get my shit together. Because we get an autopilot, and really, really think about it. I want you to think about the last time that you had a deep, meaningful kiss, because I will tell you, there have been plenty of times I tell my husband, I'm like, hey, I don't want just these like pecks anymore. Like, put your tongue in my mouth, fucking please. That matters to me. And, or I've given y'all homework sometimes where I'm like, go and just make out a couple of nights a week, whether it leads to fucking or not. I'm sure everyone listening to my podcast, it's going to lead to full on penetration, but kiss and enjoy it. Really explore and take time to fuck with their mouth, like fuck with their lips, like get the tongue involved, get the teeth involved. There's a whole part of the mouth. I know in the beginning, think about the making out in the beginning, or even for me, the making out during sex. It's like, I will eat your fucking face off. I will swallow your beard. I will lick your cheekbone into your mouth. Maybe this is like, ew, okay, I'm getting like Jim Carrey and Dumb and Dumber kiss vibes. But no, when you're fucking and sucking and spitting in each other's mouths, which I'm totally stamp of approval for, and there's science behind it, just you wait, bitch, you are doing better overall. You are having hotter sex. You are a happier individual. Okay, I will stand by that. Am I going to go ahead and side with and say, like, we need more orgasms, and that I think people that are having more orgasms and climaxing more often are happier individuals? Yes, but kissing is really missing its marketing. Someone needs to represent kissing. Justice for kissing. Listen to this shit. Here we go. Okay, I read a bunch of shit, so I'm going to pass along. Some kisses are rooted in attachment because kissing causes a chemical reaction in your brain. It has a burst of this hormone called oxytocin. You know what it is, my little love addicts. It's the love hormone, and it stirs up feelings of affection and attachment, and it's a feel good. And according to a 2013 study, oxytocin is particularly important in helping men bond with a partner and stay monogamous. Fascinating. Women experience a flood of oxytocin during childbirth, breastfeeding, strengthening the mother-child bond. By the way, just to cite my source, this is from a Healthline article. Speaking of feeding, many believe that kissing comes from the practice of kiss feeding. Think of like the birds, how they would go eat their food and spit it into the baby. Yes, crazy, crazy, crazy. Moving on. Some kisses are rooted in romantic love. The dopamine, that's the effect of dopamine in your brain's reward pathway. When you're cuddling, kissing, all that affection, just dopamine flooding through your brain, and it feels good, and it's released when you're doing shit that feels good. They're happy hormones. You get giddy and euphoric. Some kisses are spurred by your sex drive. No shit. And in another study, female participants said they were less likely to have sex with someone without kissing them first. And they also reported that how well someone's kisses can make or break their partner's chances of getting to third base. It's also been shown that men kiss to introduce sex hormones and proteins that make their female partner more sexually receptive. This is so fascinating to me. Open mouth and tongue kisses are especially effective in upping the level of sexual arousal because they increase the amount of saliva produced and exchanged. The more spit you swap, the more turned on you will get. That is why I said spit in each other's mouth. Fucking do it. Try it the next time you're fucking. Just spit in his mouth. Just see what he does. I dare you. I fucking dare you, bitches. And you better message me and tell me his reaction. And guys, if your girl listens to this podcast, she's probably down. She's probably down. Maybe this will spark a conversation. And you're like, Jordan, we spit in each other's mouth. And we loved it. And guys, kissing of any type feels good. You have so many nerve endings on your lips and on your tongue. And when you push them together, you get this little chemical cocktail and you feel fucking good. You feel like you're on drugs and drugs feel good. Just kidding. And you feel affection. You feel close. You're releasing serotonin. That's another feel good. Your cortisone levels, they're going down. You're relaxed. You're connecting with your partner. And that's all the good, right? There's so much good. But what's reality? Okay, I was looking up reality, and on marriage.com, is it normal not to kiss much in long-term relationship? And it said that reduced kissing is pretty regular than what many people think, and that it's common for couples to continue to have at least cursory sex and not kiss deeply for years. And That's not a good sign of a healthy relationship, even if it's a common thing. Like, that's not a good indicator. Because I guarantee you there are lots of marriages where people step out on each other. I bet there's lots of marriages where people are sleeping in separate beds and or hate each other. Doesn't mean it's healthy and or good, pleasurable, fun. No. And what's not fun, cool, and enjoyable and delicious to hear is that passionate kissing fades in like 100% of marriages. You get to a different part in your life. You get to a different part in your relationship where you feel comfortable. Maybe for someone, it's peace and contentment. For others, it can be boring. You know, it can be a mix of things. So I think it won't hurt anybody. The happy couples, or maybe the ones that really need some extra loving to up their intention around the smooching. Couples report that 40% are saying that kisses last no longer than 5 seconds. So that's just not enough time. And you deserve more kisses, more pleasure, and more connection. And science suggests that men transfer testosterone through their saliva, okay? So since testosterone raises libido in men and women, think about what swapping your spit does. It elevates your sexual desire. This is incentive. This is beyond incentive to be like, shit, we have got to fucking start making out more. As a woman, I will say we all love a forehead kiss. I think forehead kisses can be so, like in the morning, if we wake up and if I have morning breath and I'm self-conscious, or I feel like I do, my mouth is just severely cotton-mouthed. A forehead kiss goodbye, or maybe in a sweet moment, a forehead kiss, it feels so like, da-da, I don't know. But if that's all you're getting, or you're getting the peck, or you're getting cheeked, or a poofy lip kiss, like, where you're like barely touching the lip, this is technique of not what not to do, It's giving grandma and grandpa kiss. It's giving, I haven't seen your private parts in a long time, and I just called your private parts private parts. If you are the couple that's like, you know what, if you had to rate 1 to 10 where you're at in your kissing game in your marriage, ain't no shame. Just call it like it is. A spade is a spade. If it looks like a pig, if it talks like a pig, if it walks like a pig, it's a fucking pig. So we have to call it for what it is. If you feel like you're really out of it and you're like, we're not kissing at all, and it has been a while, and it is so like we are rushed, I vote that you get technique driven. You're like, hey, I'm gonna explore the mouth. I'm gonna explore with my tongue, a pointy tongue, a soft tongue, a light nibble on the lip, light nibble, like in the flow of things, maybe an end pressure with the teeth. Very pace, very pressure, very angles. Just be completely present. And this is a collaborative experience. You are riding the kiss together. The kiss is unique because two mouths are involved, two tongues, two bodies, two energies. So it's its own thing. You aren't in control. Y'all are co-creating. Challenge yourselves. Couples, I want you to go, you know, we're going to kiss goodbye every day when we separate, go to work, split up for the day, whatever, run errands. We're going to kiss when we greet, when we see each other, kiss when we depart, kiss goodnight. And you are going to, just like if you're intentional about your sex life, maybe you're so intentional about so many things and you're like, damn, kissing just slipped right in the cracks. Because things can be great, and maybe you've just been pecking for a while. Maybe this isn't a big hole in your life. Like, I'm longing for tongue sessions. And this is just something that Jordan slipped in your mind. I hope that this is rewarding for you. I hope that it adds to your experience. I don't know how it could possibly take away. But like you plan sex, plan to make out or extend foreplay and dedicate a certain amount of time to just kissing and really be present and really be having all the senses awake and alive. Use your body, use your hands. Don't just use your mouth, but get that mouth to work. A full body kiss, baby. If you feel like 10 minutes a day of making out is daunting, start with 7 seconds. I know I've given homework before. I'm like, make out for 10 minutes, 3 times a week. I still think that's the best homework I could give. But 7 seconds, 7 to 15 seconds, just adding this additional time. It's like taking a vitamin. It's going to be another can of fertilizer on your marriage lawn. If any of you feel like this was you, that message was for you, or maybe you're just excited to implement a new routine around something you've done forever. Me, like, I could 100% apply this to my own marriage because it does. It's just something that we take for granted. And I think it'd be such a bonus points, a win for us all. Follow up. DM me your stories in a few weeks. Tell me if it makes the sex hotter. Tell me if you don't feel closer. Maybe your overall mood will improve. Science is suggesting that. I hope everyone enjoyed today's episode. I was going to wait to tell you this, but I'm just going to tell you now. I did a podcast swap with the Swing Nation, Dan and Lacey from the Swing Nation. If you know them, I know there are people that listen to this show that are not monogamous, that live alternative lifestyles. We don't yuck anyone's yum. We talk about it all here, obviously. I know that y'all may be obsessed with them as they're really big on TikTok and represent the swingers and their lifestyle. And they're so knowledgeable and they're so sweet and down to earth. And their relationship is such a reflection of their maturity and their love and their authenticity. And you are going to really love this interview. I went on their show. They came on The Horny Housewife. And that episode is coming out in exactly 2 weeks from today. So one more solo episode in between. I love, love, love our me and you time. Until next week.